So Elizabeth Warren may need some ice packs today. She took a lot of verbal punches in last night's Democratic debate. No one laid a glove on Joe Biden when it came to Ukraine. And Bernie Sanders had a heart attack? Hard to tell. 12 Democratic candidates met for 3 hours in the all-important swing state of Ohio. Healthcare was hot. Immigration hardly mentioned, except for Julian Castro's line about Donald Trump letting ISIS prisoners escape in Syria while caging immigrant children on the U.S. border. Let's bring in NPR's political correspondent Asma Khalid. And Asma, Elizabeth Warren, she rose in the polls to match Joe Biden, and one result tagged, she was it last night.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, she came under scrutiny, I would say, from so many sides. Specifically, the night began, or I would say after sort of a little bit of questioning around impeachment, we moved very quickly to health care. And Elizabeth Warren has often said when she's pushed on health care questions that she's with Bernie, saying that she's supportive of Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan. But some of the candidates said that they sort of wanted more from her. They felt like she was being evasive, that she's not offering that much clarity on this. And most specifically, they say she has not explicitly acknowledged that taxes would likely increase if we were to adopt a Medicare for All plan. She essentially feels like that's a disingenuous question, that total health care costs would go down, so she doesn't want to go there.
Yeah, she says the money will go to pay for other things. But here's Senator Klobuchar of Minnesota.
At least Bernie's being honest here and saying how he's going to pay for this and that taxes are going to go up. And I'm sorry, Elizabeth, but you have not said that. And I think we owe it to the American people to tell them where we're going to send the invoice.
So she, Elizabeth Warren, was taking most of those verbal, you know, hits. How did she handle it in your mind?
You know, that's a really interesting question, Rob. I think that she definitely seemed flustered at times by the sort of onslaught of attacks, and in part because they weren't just from one direction. We had Amy Klobuchar, we had the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, also multiple times push Elizabeth Warren and say, you've got a plan for everything. How is it that you have not articulated a plan for health care, and more specifically, how you intend to pay for this all? Mm. And these are lines of attacks, in some ways, I would say, she should have been prepared for. Many of the candidates had been previewing these criticisms for weeks ahead of the debate. Mm. But look, this is the turf that she has to play on at this point. To me, it was also an acknowledgement across the board from candidates that they now see Elizabeth Warren as a very clear threat and as the potential frontrunner, because we did not see so many direct jabs at the former Vice President Joe Biden as we saw directed at Elizabeth Warren.
Well, let's skip to Joe Biden. This debate came after weeks of President Trump and Rudy Giuliani telling falsehoods about Joe Biden, claiming he had a Ukrainian prosecutor fired because the prosecutor was investigating a company Biden's son was on the board of. In fact, Biden and others wanted the prosecutor to investigate more. But Biden's son, Hunter, also said this week it was wrong for him to be on that board. The optics are terrible. Anderson Cooper did ask one question of Biden, but did you get the sense Biden, if the candidate, could handle this topic on the stage with Donald Trump?
Gosh, that's a really tough question to answer, I think, Robin, in part because I was fascinated by the brevity of this entire moment in the debate last night. You're right that Anderson Cooper asked one question to Joe Biden about this. Joe Biden very quickly said, essentially, I did nothing wrong. My son did nothing wrong. And he wants the conversation to be focused on Donald Trump. What I was fascinated by was the degree to which the moderators did not pose any of these questions to any of the other candidates. So we don't know essentially how Donald Trump would handle this in a debate how Joe Biden would handle this in a debate because he wasn't piled on this issue. There was just one single question from a moderator, and then they quickly changed gears, shifted the conversation.
In fact, Cory Booker came back later and said he thought it was an insult that it was even asked because it was based on a falsehood. But Republicans are saying Anderson Cooper should have pushed harder. So that sits there. Bernie Sanders seemed to be very vigorous despite having had a heart attack a couple weeks ago. But just you mentioned the impeachment question. Candidates gave a range of responses. Where did they seem to be in agreement?
There's really unanimous agreement that they all feel this impeachment inquiry should be moving forward in the House. They feel like it's necessary. I mean, there's gradations when they're asked about this, whether or not they feel like this process needs to sort of play out through the appropriate mechanisms in Congress, or whether they're sort of like Elizabeth Warren, who has been very vocally calling for impeachment for months ever since the Mueller report came out.
All right, quick lightning round. Who might we not see in the near future after last night?
After last night, I mean, so to to that question, Robin, a number of candidates actually are still in this race who were not on the stage last night. I think, for example, Montana Governor Steve Bullock. There's a whole bunch of them who were not actually on stage. Come November, the donor threshold, as well as the polling requirement that candidates will need to make it onto stage, become higher. They're stricter requirements. And so as a result, that's why we saw someone like an Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota punching up at times because she has not yet qualified for that November debate. Mm. That being said, I don't anticipate all the candidates who won't make that debate to necessarily drop out. Some of them have, you know, been building up operations in Iowa and New Hampshire.
We'll see. NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid, thank you so much.
You're welcome.